all of you to our online service that's now live. And I want to welcome Tarrant Crosschild to come and speak. I'm so thankful you could come. You have a powerful story to tell. Tarrant's been here before. We've been blessed by his word. And I'm thankful for your wife, because even from your story, I know, Celeste, that you prayed. And God is a faithful God, and he hears our prayers. So I just wanted to mention that your prayers were heard, and I'm so thankful. Uh-oh. Should we start over? Don't start yet.
Good morning. Technology, hey? Yeah. Well, it's good to be here. I have been here before. That was about seven years ago. And man, time flies. It really does fly. And it's just, I always knew that perhaps maybe I'll be back here at some point. And so here we are. Here I am. I'm back here. And being able to share, you know, what God has done in my life, through my life, and in my family, my wife, you know, like my wife Celeste joined me today. I also want to acknowledge that I have four beautiful children. My oldest, Jara, she's in Calgary right now. She competes in track and field on the University of Saskatchewan Huskies. And so she's running there in Calgary today. I'll brag about her. She's one of the top runners in Canada for her age group. She's worked really, really hard. And then my sons, also runners, they're also athletes, and they're running hard and they're training as well. And you know, a lot of them, like through the pandemic, they really it's funny, they really excelled through school and in training. So it was really fun to be able to watch them, being able to learn and to be able to adapt at whatever came their way. There's school, there's no school, oh, we're gonna have school, oh yeah, but here's what we got to do. So they're really quick, and they're able to really learn and grow through it. So I'm really thankful, you know. So I just really wanted to acknowledge that about my kids, you know, today. So as much as it is just my wife and I here, it's, of course, it's always fun to, you know, get a little getaway. But I also want to just acknowledge my family. And of course, God, oh, good Lord, the God of hope, I thank you, Jesus. God, you know, I always feel the same way of feeling inadequate, not worthy enough to be able to share what you have done. And the truth, God, is I'm not. But God, I thank you that through my weakness, God, you show up, and that you will give me that strength. And it's all because of what you have done. So God, I acknowledge that today. Holy Spirit, ministering angels, I thank you for being here. I thank you that you inhabit the praises of your people. I thank you for that beautiful worship, that opportunity to worship a God, not just any God, a mighty God. The name of Jesus that is above every other name. I thank you that you are here. I thank you that when you are here, God, anything is possible. I thank you, God, that chains can be broken, that yokes can be destroyed, and will, God, because you are here, God. So I thank you, God, Holy Spirit, for working and moving up and through the aisles, touching every single person, God. Prepare all our hearts and mind, God. And God, use me. Not me, Lord, less of me, God, but all you. Here I am, Lord. Send me, Jesus' name. Thank you. Uki, Tsanadapi, Ixagapi, Edanico Itzanitobi. Hello. My name is Tarrant Crosschild. So I just greeted you in my Blackfoot language. So I'm Blackfoot from the Blood Tribe, which is in southern Alberta, which, you know, land acknowledgments are really important. They always have been, but as the day goes on and the more time the news stories are out, the more important it becomes. So today I'd like to acknowledge that we are on Treaty 4 territory, the original lands of the Cree, Ojibwe, Soto, Dakota, Nakota, Lakota, and the whole homeland of the Métis Nation. We respect and honor the treaties that were made on all territories, and we acknowledge the harms and mistakes of the past, and we are committed to move forward in partnership with Indigenous Nation in the spirit of reconciliation and collaboration. So we hear reconciliation a lot. And yeah, you know, Pastor Hans, you know, like Pastor Paul inviting me wherever he is, you know, we are taking a step as the body of Christ in truth and reconciliation, in all the calls to action, and you're doing it by inviting First Nation, Blackfoot, Itsanitobi, to your community to be able to share my story. And we know that God is the God of reconciliation. He really is. And to be able to share my story with you today is honestly, truly, truly an honor. My traditional name, Itsanitobi, was given to me by my grandfather, Daniel Wiesemokasin. And oh, I loved spending time out at Daniel's house in the summers, you know, out on his homestead in the Blood Reserve. And so my grandpa would send me out to chase the horses, to be able to get them, round them up, and to be able to chase them into the corral. And so I'd go up running through the hills, running through the buttes of Southern Alberta. You know, I'm 11, 12 years old, and looking for the horses, run up a hill, can't see them, run down the valley, up another hill. Then, oh, I see them, and then trying to think as a youngster, how am I going to get them back into the corral? So it seemed really fun at the time, but when you're there and you're that young, you know, you just kind of react, just like my kids, like my boy is able to react and to adapt. So I was able to do that and eventually be able to chase the horses into the corral. And that's when my uncles would open the corral gate and get the horses in and job done. So my grandfather would watch me, and he would watch me from his patio, watch me running up and down the hills. And he gave me this name, Itsanitobi, when I was 12 years old. And what that means is that I'm a messenger, that I would be going from community to community bringing a message. So I find that, you know, just so amazing that that name, you know, that my grandfather, Daniel Wiesemokasin, bestowed on me, you know, it's coming to reality. I never used to pay too much attention to that name. And just not too long ago, probably within the last 5 years, I was prophesied over. And the words that came, that spoke through the woman of God, was that whatever was given to my grandfather, that God meant for good, for the glory of God, that calling is now upon my life. So then there's more to it, but it just started clicking, and then the word Itsanitobi, then I really, really started to search it and find out, you know, more about that name, more about my language, to be able to honor it and pay respect to, you know, the Blackfoot people. It was April of 2014, I was sitting at home at my kitchen table. My wife and kids were gone. They're at church. I was 3 days sober. 3 days sober for me in April of 2014 was good. 3 days. I chose not to attend church with my wife and my kids. As a matter of fact, I mocked her for going to church and for believing in a God. 3 days sober with alcohol on the table. I didn't want to open it. I sincerely wanted to be sober. I tried self-help groups. I've tried counseling. Willpower, books, you name it. I tried it all. And here I am, alone at home, feeling so depressed, feeling so dark, with no way out. I felt like I was in a deep, dark pit. No light, no hope, hopeless. There's no way I'm going to get better. There's no way I'm going to be a good father, a good husband, a good employer, a good employee, a good member, contributing member of society. There's not a chance. I love my wife and kids. And I was thinking, how did I get here? How did I get to this point? My daughter, I used to coach her hockey teams, drive her to different places. But she started noticing a difference in my life. She's young. She starts realizing when she's 9, 10, 11, 12 years old, that if dad goes out, he might not come home tonight. He might come home in 4 days, 5 days, a week. So she would start standing at the back door, knowing when I'm leaving. She'd put her body right across the door, pleading with me, "Dad, please just stay home. Please, we'll watch a movie. We'll do anything. Please just stay home." But the grip of the addiction just always, always overpowered the thought of staying home with my wife and kids. Never went to my kids' school activities, nor did I go to their church activities. My wife would leave my Bible out. I would throw it away. She would leave worship CDs in my vehicle. For you young people, that's a CD you used to play in your vehicle, played music. I would just throw the CD out, not wanting any of it. And I mocked her because I was convinced, how can this God fix me? How can he heal me? Verge of losing my family, I had lost my business, my health was deteriorating, I had nothing, no money. Every time I'd come home, I'd be waiting to see a note on the door from the bank saying we had to vacate the house. So I was convinced that the only way to show my love for my family was to take me out of the picture. I went out into the garage, found a rope, tied it up there in the third rafter. I made 3 attempts to hang myself. After my 3 failed attempts, I went back into the house and found a bottle of extra strength Tylenol. I consumed the entire bottle. And by then, I had written these letters apologizing. "I'm sorry, Jarrah. I didn't mean to turn out this way. When you're older, Jarrah, don't you marry a man like your dad was. Sorry, sons. I didn't mean for this to happen. Do not grow up to be a man like your dad was." And a letter to my wife apologizing. "I didn't mean for any of this to happen. Things are going to get better now." And I left the letters on the table. Meanwhile, I've cracked every beer I had in the house. Wanting to die. Wanting to escape. Because I was convinced that that was the only way out. I woke up in the hospital. My first feelings was being angry, being upset, because I didn't know how this was going to turn out good. Even though my wife would say, previous weeks, God spoke through the pastor at church. He shared Joel 2:25 that God's a God of restoration. All these things I was, you know, recollecting in my mind. And I didn't see it possible. I was angry that I woke up. I didn't know how it was going to be better. But one thing I knew that morning was I needed help. I asked my wife, "I'll be open and honest. Please just get me help." I want secular help. She told me about this program called Teen Challenge. So I did some research. I'm like, 12 months? Not a chance. Sing in a choir? A hard no. And also, as I was convinced that they were going to brainwash me. So after 4 days in the hospital, I'm antsy, I'm shaken, I'm crying. I like just want to get out of this place. My wife was supposed to pick me up that morning. She wasn't there. I was like, where is she? I promised to be open and honest. She said she'd pick me up this morning and she's not here. Where is she? So I started situating my clothes to the chair beside me. I had an IV in. I was in an observation room, 4 beds. I noticed the guy in the corner, every time he needed help, that all 3 nurses would go help him. Started placing my pants, my shirt, my shoes out here so that the next time the guy in the corner needs help, all 3 nurses go. I was gonna pull out the IV, jump out of bed, and put my clothes on and run out of there and jump off the university bridge. I'll show her. I'm crying, I'm shaking, I'm sweating. Nurses aren't going to the guy in the corner. So at this time, finally, I said, okay, God, if you're real, if you have purpose in my life and a plan for me, I need you to show me a sign right now. Not next week, not next month, right now. And within minutes, the nurse is moving. Here's my chance. She's walking, turns towards me. She goes, Tarrant, I'm not sure. I don't think you need your IV anymore. Starts taking it out. Tarrant, I see in your file you're considering the Teen Challenge program. I want you to know it's a good place. They can help you. I hear stories of men like you overcoming their addiction. And as she's telling me this, I stop shaking. I'm not crying. I start feeling this peace. I start feeling hope. And she goes, I know this because my mother cuts hair there every month and she tells me these stories of men like you. And she says, I'm not sure if the morning shift nurses told you, but your wife won't be here till this afternoon. She walked away. I'm feeling good. I'm feeling hopeful. Feeling peace. And now looking back, knowing that it was the peace of God that the world couldn't give me, but that God gave me. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything in prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the God of peace transcends all your understanding, will guard your heart and your mind. I didn't feel like dying anymore. I didn't feel like jumping off the bridge. I didn't feel like putting those clothes off and piecing out of there. Pretty soon my wife walks in with a stack of pamphlets of secular, you know, places for me to get help. I said, let's go check out this Teen Challenge. And of course she thought I was mocking her faith and her religion again. A couple days later, walked up the steps of Teen Challenge, feeling hopeful. Because I would often imagine what my life would look like if I was sober. What kind of dad would I be? What kind of husband would I be? What kind of worker would I be? What kind of person would I be? Walked up those steps, scared, terrified, ready to be brainwashed. Second day there, during worship chapel service, singing beautiful songs just like today. I was in the first row. They're singing this song about amazing grace and chains being broken. It was at that point I got down on my hands and knees and I gave my heart to Jesus Christ. And when I got back up, tears were coming down my eyes. I knew those chains had been broken, the chains of addiction. I knew I had been set free. I was filled with this hope and this peace. I knew I could start laying behind everything, you know, all those lies from the enemy about you're a bad husband, you're a bad father, you're a bad worker, you're a bad employer, you're just a bad person. And I can start reaching forward to what lay hold of me. I started reading the Word of God. And the truth is, I was brainwashed. The Word of God renewing my mind every day, washing my brain with the Word of God, giving it a cleansing, making me realize who I really am in Jesus Christ. Renewing my mind every day. And through the year there at Teen Challenge, I started, you know, realizing and seeing, this is what my life looks like sober. This is how it feels. And I started having this desire for running. Running was a big part of my life before my addiction. So I thought, I'm going to start running again. There's this shed out in the distance. It was there to the shed and back was only 1.5 kilometers away. And we weren't allowed to go past it because if you went past it, you're considered you left the program. So I'd set out there to run to the shed. I couldn't even make it there. I'd have to walk. Then after, but I had a goal. So pretty soon, after a few weeks, I was able to run to the shed and back. Then I thought, well, okay, maybe I can go there and back twice. So I did that. It took me a week, maybe 2 weeks. I was able to go there twice. Then I started needing new territory. I was getting bored of that route. So I had to ask permission. I said, I want to go to the farmer's turnoff. So I had to run with this piece of paper saying I'm allowed to go past the shed. So pretty soon I was able to go past the shed, eventually get to the farmer's turnoff, turn around, and head back. Took me a week, few weeks, longer than to get to the shed and back. Then I needed more territory again. So I had to change my permission slip. I needed to go to the Allen turnoff. So here I am running with this slip, running past the shed, past the farmer's turnoff, to the Allen turnoff, turn around and back. Then I realizing this is like a prayer run. God was really speaking to me through my runs, looking at the fields, looking at the farmers, you know, planting, then harvesting, you know, watching everything grow, watching the sky, the blue sky, the white clouds. Then I had to change my permission slip again, because when I would run, I would see a train go by, so I thought, I want to run to the tracks. I couldn't see the tracks, but I knew they were there because I'd see a train go by. So run with a different slip, past the shed, past the farmer's turnoff, past the Allen turnoff, made it to the tracks, and then back again. And this one day, I'm out there running, got to the tracks, turned around, felt like I can go further. So I looked back at the center, I figured, I can barely see the center, so that means they can't really see me. So I just kept running. And through those runs and through my year at Teen Challenge, reading the Word of God, realizing who I am in Jesus Christ, realizing that I had purpose in my life, already looking to see all the things, all the fruits of what God was doing in my life, being a good husband, being a good father, having these dreams and these visions, because I let go of everything in the past. When I graduated Teen Challenge in May of 2015, I returned home to my family. God provided a way to save our home. My wife and I renewed our vows. My kids got their dad back. My wife got her husband back. I had $280 in coins to my name. That was it. Gave the coins to my kids because I was too embarrassed to go to the grocery store to plug it down those change machines, and they came back, gave me the $280. So I had purpose. I had a bit of money. But it didn't even matter how much I had because I knew I had my family. I knew I had my life. I knew I had this opportunity. And it felt good. The Saskatchewan Marathon, was slated for the end of May. And this marathon was held dear to my heart because before my addiction, it was a marathon that I had won back in 1998. And through my year of Teen Challenge, I was determined to get back to that start line. I registered, newspaper calls, hey, we heard you're running a marathon, you won this back in 98. We want to do a story. I remember saying, what story? So they did, went on the front page of the Star Phoenix, then it goes across Canada, run this marathon. I wasn't anywhere near the front like I wanted back in 98, but the feeling I felt, knowing that how God was working in my life and gave me that hope, that peace, the purpose. And when I ran that marathon, I started thinking about where I had come from, you know, the shed, the farmer's turnoff, the Allen turnoff, the tracks, and being able to keep going. And when I crossed the finish line, there's this big arch, music, people cheering. The joy that I felt of being able to accomplish running this 26.2 miles, crossing the line, feeling good. God impressed on my heart that, yeah, this is a finish line, but to you, it's a brand new start line to a brand new life. Man, I was excited. Started my business back up with that $280 in coins. People, you need help? No, I got this. We got this. Had my family started going to the parent-teacher interviews, surprising the teachers, like, whoa, you do have a dad. Taking my kids to their hockey, to their, you know, soccer, whatever it was, I was always there. Then I started hearing about the suicide crisis in northern communities all across Canada, every community. You know, every day 11 people die to suicide due to mental illness. I needed to do something. I was like, what can I do? When I was in Teen Challenge, there's a company in Saskatoon called BrainSport. He heard I was running again, so he sent me 4 pairs of shoes while I was in the program. I kept a pair, I gave 3 to other, you know, students in the program, and they were running too. So I said, hey, Brian, you gave me some shoes while I was in the program. Do you have any more? So he gave me like a full box of gently used shoes. I go up to this community in Cumberland House. Go to Cumberland House, work with the principal there, Aaron Fossenhoof. We do a running clinic, partnered with a church, the late Pastor Mariah's church. And we held the running clinics at the school during the day. Then we would have an outreach service at her church in the evening. Kids were giving their heart to the Lord. Teachers were giving their hearts to the Lord. Then another community said, hey, we heard what you did in Cumberland. Can you come here? Our kids are dying. So we go to another community. Then I start, you know, God just expanded my dreams, my vision, you know, of this, of, you know, like people would say, companies would say, hey, we love what you're doing. New Balance running shoes said, hey, Tarrant, we love what you're doing. We want to sponsor you. I said, no, don't sponsor me, please. Get me some prizes so we can bring to these communities. They said, we'll do both. News outlets started contacting us. We hear and see what you're doing. We want to do a story. Company starts, hey, we read about you. We heard you on the radio. What do you need? I thought, you know what? When I ran the Sask Marathon after my year of rehab, they had this big arch. Like, oh, okay, we'll get you one. Another company, what do you need? Well, I want to be able to bring this feeling that I felt to the communities. When I crossed this finish line, they had a sound system. Oh, you need a sound system? I said, yes. Another company, what do you need? Well, sometimes we go to communities and we have nowhere to plug anything in because it's far away from the building. Oh, you need a generator. Yes. So companies just getting on board. Then we started doing school presentations. Then I didn't want to just be this old guy up front. I needed to make it cool. So we had these lights, a fog machine, two 10-foot screens. And so we started doing this big production of, you know, the entire school is hearing the gospel, hearing what Jesus did in my life. Public schools, Catholic schools, people say, come here, please come here. We went as far away as Victoria, Moncton, New Brunswick, down into Oklahoma. And even now, people are like, can you come? Can you come here? Can you come here? And in Saskatoon, there's a module when you're in grade 9 or 10. It's called Tarrant Crossyard. You hear about what God did in my life. Hey, Tarrant, what do you need? Well, we accumulated all these things now. Oh, you need a trailer. Yeah, we need a trailer. We want decals on it and everything like that. Okay, you got it. Just how God was just blessing it. No eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor had it enter the hearts of man, the things that God has in store, prepared for those who love him. Everything was just blowing my mind. I felt like I was just on this big momentum and I'm just on it. You know, my wife and my kids were all, we all played a role. And then we have a team, a good church family that supported us, that was behind us. And to date, we've been a conduit of over $750,000 worth of product from New Balance running shoes, of shoes and clothing going into communities. Even been into the prison. A prison heard about us in southern Alberta. Hey, we have a women's prison. Can you come share your story here? Sure. Able to walk right through the gates. They're buzzing these doors. I'm going in with a box of running shoes. We go there. There's a group of young ladies sharing their story. Then I shared my story, how Jesus set me free, how I was once an addict, who now I am a child of God. Many of them giving their hearts to the Lord. And it still blows my mind. And I was always wanting to have a, like God impressed upon my heart to have a ministry where I didn't really have to ask people for anything, because I hate asking for things. Unless it's my wife, you know, can you wash my clothes? I'm hungry. Where's my wallet? Where's my phone? But really, God just started providing. It just blew my mind away. I started a business called Prairie Flooring. The company that fired me 3 times in my addiction, who now became my business partner. We started a company called Prairie Flooring. And I was like, okay, we reached all these athletes, these runners in these communities. Imagine if we can provide jobs and opportunities and education for them. Well, now we can through Prairie Flooring. We give them meaningful employment. Not only do we just teach them the skills, we teach them about saving your money, putting money away. I share my story. I started hiring people. I need a business manager. She comes on board. During a business meeting, she gives her heart to the Lord. My business partner, who's not, you know, wasn't a believer, great guy, amazing guy. We're out for a hike. We're just, that's how we meet. We either run or we hike. Then he starts asking about God, about Jesus Christ. A lot of our workers, we have a Bob, Pastor Bob, that comes along and he goes out, visits our job sites. And he's been able to minister to our workers and have led several to Jesus Christ. And the communities where we go that hire us, that hire Prairie Flooring, we give back our social responsibility, giving back to the community where we do business or who we employ, is we give Prairie Flooring, this is our logo here. We give a certain percentage of our proceeds to our non-for-profit organization called Prairie Run Crew to go back into that community with our partners, New Balance Running Shoes, brain support, and the latest is Cameco, the world's largest producer of uranium, to go into these communities, to be able to have these massive running clinics. Every kid will get a pair of shoes, a t-shirt, cool prizes. They wear a race number. Oh, you should see these kids when they put the race numbers on. The cutest thing ever. And they're running, because who knows what they're battling? Who knows what kind of home they're coming from? Because just like when I ran that marathon and trained, I wanted them to feel and experience a victory, to run under the arch, to hear the music, the sound system, to be able to have that feeling that they've accomplished something, and to be able to minister and share the love of God with these communities is the real reason why we do what we do. It's how God's given us the platform of running to be able to reach to the communities, to be able to reach the lost. It's always, always about the gospel. It's always, always about the hope in Jesus Christ, the reconciliation, the restoration that we have in Jesus Christ. It's always my prayer, everywhere I go to share, that God, there'd be one person, at least one, that needed to hear this message. And there's always more than one. So as I look around, where are you? Who are you? That it's my hope and my prayer that you are encouraged. There's a business idea out there. There's a song to be written, a song to be sung, a sermon to be preached, a goal horn to be lit up, a test to be written, a book to be written, what God has done in my life, I know he can do for you, through you. Whatever was God told you years ago that you've kind of forgotten about, I believe God can blow on that and start it back up again. Don't forget. Notes that were written, things that were started, go back to them and finish them. Neighbors that need to be reached. I don't know what to say. I don't have a Bible tract to give them. Love them. Our greatest, greatest witness is to love. Love and accept them. They're people to be loved, nations to be loved, neighbors to be loved. Because soon they'll start asking you for the why is the reason for the hope that is in you. Then you have that opportunity to share it. And I know all this because I've seen it. I've experienced it firsthand. Everything my wife used to tell me about church, about the pastors, she was right. That in itself is a miracle to be able to say you're. So I want to encourage you today. I really do. Set some goals for yourself. Where's your shed? Where's your farmer's turnoff? Where's your Allen turnoff? What do you see down the road? What's way down there that you know is there? Can't really see it. I knew there were tracks there. Couldn't see them, but I seen a train go by. What are your tracks? Because I know through God, with God, everything is possible. That when I said I tried everything, when I tried God, everything became possible. So thank you, God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, mighty God, that you are a mighty God, that you are the name above all names, that God, that you have set and know every single person here by name, that you know the number of hairs on their head, God, not because you're counting, but you just can't help but know, because you know everything. You know everything about them. You know everything, their future, God. God, I pray that every single person here, Lord, finds their hope in you, that looks to you. I pray, God, a great desire for them and a passion for your word, that they just want to read it, meditate it on it day and night. Let it be written on their hearts, Lord. And God, let them be not only hearers, but doers of your word, Lord. That faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, that when they read it, they get excited, that they want to do it, that they want to act upon it, God, that they just want to share it with other people, that people see them and see and ask them for the hope that is in them. And they say, you're different. You're different than the others. You're not so negative like the other people I work with. Why are you so positive, God? And it's because of you, God. So God, I just want that, Lord, for every single person here, no matter what kind of home they have. Maybe they have someone that they're praying for. Maybe there's someone that needs healing today, God. I thank you, God, that you are here and anything is possible. God, I pray for the chains, God, chains of addiction, Lord, whatever chains, whatever they're abounding, God, whatever the enemy, where the enemy comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. God, I thank you, God, that you have come to give them life, and not just any ordinary kind of life, not just a life that the world gives, Lord, but an abundant life. So God, I thank you for the abundance of lives that are in this place, Lord, for that hope. Give them dreams and visions, Lord. Give them a book title, a subject to write about, a song title, Lord, something to sing about, because God, there are so many things that we can sing and be to worship you, Lord. So God, I thank you, God. And again, Lord, I'm so humbled that you would use me, my wife, my family, my beautiful family, for your glory. And I thank you, and I know that I am nothing without you. So God, today, I give you all the praise in all the glory, in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen.